Okay.
Someone should let Diana know. You said she. I could text her if you want.
She doesn't have text.
I just came on, guys. Hello.
Sorry, we were having some serious technical difficulties. Next.
I enjoyed the dentist office music. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, all right.
Ian just
joined. And just so you know, Dinah, I think, who else joined?
Ian just joined.
Oh, Ian, that's right, first of the month. Thank you, Ian. We do not have a photographer here, so we don't know what the story is with that, but we're recording this on our computer, the audio portion. So with that being said, I'll call the meeting to order at 9:07, and I'll make a motion that we approve the agenda. And there was one thing I wanted to add, which was the driveway permit for 29 Oak Ridge Road. So do I have an approval of the agenda with the amendment?
I'll second the amendment.
Okay, thank you. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. All right. We were going to start with the RONAC status, but Chris is not on yet, but Kelly's here. So I'm going to let Annie in. So I'll let Kelly go first. So Kelly, you're up at. Yeah, and it doesn't involve. So this is something I noticed. The excavation for the cellar hole is dug, and in Edelweiss we require a 65-foot setback from the center line of the road. And so I went in the office today because what I saw was that foundation hole is very close to the road. And I went to the office this morning just to take a look at the drawing, and it actually shows the center line of the road to the front of the house at 47.9 feet. So I looked through the rest of the application, but what I don't see here is a variance for that setback. That would not be done by the Village District of Edelweiss. It's done by the Madison Zoning Board of Appeals, and so I don't see any notification of that having happened. I did reach out to Bob Boyd. He is not working today, but Kim is upstairs looking for that evidence now for me. They're laying the forms today to set the foundation, and if it's in violation, I don't want them to get caught in violation and then have to hear the foundation down to rebuild. So I'm just trying to get the information. That's Madison.
But has anybody contacted them? Is it Leonard Construction, right?
Yeah, it's Leonard.
Right behind Coleman that's doing it.
Yes.
And has anybody reached out and said, look, we just want to make sure before you go forward? So maybe calling them would not be a bad idea.
Yeah. And all we can do is inform them, because again, it's not our authority. It's the Madison Zoning Authority.
Okay.
But if Kim does come back with the information that no variance has been issued, just a polite gesture, hey, you don't have a variance to do this.
Mm-hmm.
They make the decision whether they want to continue or not. That's all we can do.
Yeah, right, but make them aware that they're in violation of that setback.
Yeah, yeah.
They may not even know that.
Yeah. And just looking at the plan, so when they do park their car in front of their house, like so many others along Oak Ridge, and this may affect you, is that the back bumper of that car may be very close to the edge of the pavement.
Mm-hmm.
That affects his plowing. So just something to be concerned of.
Mm.
Okay. So that was my amendment, and that's what I wanted to bring up.
So now, if she comes up with no variance, do you want the office to reach out to the construction company?
No. At that point, it then gets into the hands of Bob Boyd.
Right, but somebody should, I think, today let them know that.
Yeah.
Even though it's not our responsibility.
No,
I think
just
that's
courtesy.
Common courtesy. Yeah.
Yeah. No,
okay.
If we find that out today, yes, certainly we can have the office call or any one of us can drive by and just.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
It'd be nice to go through the office because we got a record of it.
Yeah. So it is Leonard Construction. They're right down behind Coleman.
Yeah, that's who's on the driveway application.
Yep. So I would, if the office could just say, you know, just be aware that we don't see evidence of. A zoning variance for the 65-foot setback from the center of the road.
Right.
please, you know, you may want to contact the building inspector or something like that, just so that they are aware that there's an issue.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, Kelly, you're up.
We're up doing the gravel roads at the Rhinac Tank project today. We do need to get some clarification. Originally, we were going to do the final grade. It would have been 3/4 inch off gravel. I had a grader and operator. Much more than that. Old cautions that it'd be around 2,000, maybe more.
Is that cost material or?
But now we have. I just come from the adjust up there. What we're doing is we have to dig into the subgrade on the road, and once you dig into the subgrade, you pull up rocks. And once you pull a rock up, if you ever watched an aggravated grader operator drag a rock down the road, it was perfectly good at travel. It changes the whole scheme of things. So I did talk to Jake. I'm aware of it. Unfortunately, and what he explains is in the contract, they don't have the gravel. Never allotted for enough. And that I never saw the contract at the time, so I don't. From what I understand, there was supposed to be a 6-foot cut with a pipe. There's enough gravel allotted to fill that 6 foot.
Yeah.
You've got to do the whole road.
Yeah.
Because you're pulling stuff out, you're piling over here, you're tearing that up. You've got to recoat the whole road. So, talking with Chris, they're going to change on it. I said, they can't do it. I said, there's no money. So we have, it's got to get done. We're going to use our gravel on it. I take that gravel budget. And the standing is when a project's done, it's done up to what it was or better. So, Dawson, he was in the district tomorrow. We're up there, we're going to do that. We're going to reshape the road today, and then we're going to look at it and see what kind of gravel is going to be. He's going to be looking.
Okay, so with respect to grading the road, is that going to be on your shoulders?
Yeah.
Okay, and is there compensation from Dawson's to have you grade the road?
The original estimate was $2,000.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So the other piece, which is now material that was not factored into the original contract, you factoring in a 6-foot swath, putting new gravel on top of that, which apparently was purchased and done, but to your point, a lot more road was dug up than just that 6 foot.
Yeah, it's very thin. You can't even grade it without picking up underneath
the
surface.
Yeah, and so that's what we noticed when he was digging, is that he was pulling up a lot of eggs,
mm-hmm.
and now that's at the surface, and it's impacting your grading, right?
Yeah, and like I talked about last week, we're in the final hour, so get in there today, we'll do all the initial grade, but we're going to go back again, the overgrade.
So, what would your best guess be as to the amount of additional material that's going to be needed? I mean, are you at 2,000, 5,000, 10,000?
We're at
5. No, I agree.
Equipment charge. All should be charged. As a normal contract.
Not much we can do till we get this number from Scott.
Yeah.
Any reason?
So we just.
I don't know, it's good to know what's coming.
Yeah,
I'm just trying to move the discussion. What else do we need to know today?
So do you need to buy or at least borrow from your gravel pile now?
Sorry, I didn't know
what
pile.
That's good. Feelings. Yeah.
I'd at least do that. We're tracking how many loads we have on the gravel.
Yep.
That's definitely going to be positive.
Okay, please track that.
Yeah, and now it's going to be time spent. I just want you guys to know when you get hit with this, why did we do it?
Yep.
travel. I'll talk to him again tomorrow. We'll find out.
Okay.
He's going to be talking to you guys. But I got an email that.
Yeah, I just ask everybody to take a look at the contract again. It may not be defined that he's only going to put in a 6-foot block out.
I just don't know, even if he was going to complete the project, he'd have to do the same thing we're doing.
Exactly.
Where was it going to come from?
Yeah.
It was. We can't let this happen. I guess hindsight.
Yep. Okay.
Any involved in these things?
Yeah. We realized that early on.
So paving. I talked with Brian. They were actually up the other day. They were working an estimate to do the path.
Okay.
Move this project on. I think we have it worked out, and that was part of the email from Dawson, too, that we're pushing, everyone's pushing to get this done. We're the last project that Brian, we moved this close date to the first.
Oh, it's early.
Yeah, well, they might toy with the date a little bit, but they'll give a stop date. If they can go a little bit more, they will. But they want people, that could be the deadline. So even if they don't have the, I guess that Ian can talk to it too. They're going to do some kind of test, figure out how to test the lines. That's great. Well, that's what we're waiting for. One way or another, the pavement has to go down.
Yep.
So. We're on schedule so far. Boston's up there now. They're prepping their what they have to do. They're finishing up. Absolutely. Pushing and shoving to get it done.
Like you said, Jay, too, it's in the contract that there's a stipulation that the roads are returned to meet the original condition or better. Then. I mean, it's not anyone's, it's on Dawson that they didn't provide enough labor material to do that.
Right.
Yeah.
How that works?
Yeah, I'd have to dig into it a little bit.
Okay.
If there's a little push and shove back and forth, who's talking to that? I didn't expect it to this little bit. Or mobilized.
Yeah, if you can get the numbers tomorrow from Dawson. Put those numbers through the office, and the office can distribute those numbers so that we can think about work on it over the week before we meet again.
Mm-hmm. Does those be coming through Chris?
Well,
they're managing this all through him, right?
Yeah, Chris is involved, right? Because
he'll know about it.
He's going to do the change order.
Yeah.
But we need the numbers from that change order
because
we need to prepare if we have to.
Mm-hmm.
It will.
You have contingency.
Yeah.
You have money.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like you have.
I guess it has to be approved by Rick.
Right.
Project is a water project. We talked about it's not a road project. And I'm sure it'll get pushed. And
okay. I saw Dawson up there yesterday. He was compacting the patchwork. A lot of erosion from the rain.
Yeah.
And I just hope we don't have more rain between finishes today and when we go to patch.
Yeah, I think, like you said, they were up there. I think they fixed some of the problems.
All right.
They're on top of it.
Okay. What else you got?
That's all I got. I ran here, and I got to run back.
Okay. Ian, I know you're on the line. Do you have anything for Kelly? Any questions or concerns for the DPW?
No, just other than what you guys were just talking about, EJP is scheduled for Monday to be up there for the pressure test on those lines to you know, that 4,400 line foot line. So EJP will be there Monday to do, either Monday or Tuesday, but the current plan is for Monday to do the pressure test up there to give the okay on you know, so everyone's good with paving that over.
Are they going to use the water that's in the storage tank now, the new tank?
No, we're going to draw water off the other, you know, off the existing system.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
All right. And while I get both Ian and Kelly still here, we have further down, because I want to catch Kelly on stuff that we can. The number nine, Reinhardt, water hookup application. Have you seen that drawing yet, Ian?
A drawing for it?
Yeah.
No. No, I did talk to Dawson about it, though, and they've, you know, I mean, I kind of relayed what you said on it. They have no problem rerunning that line or whatever, so it's, I don't think there's any hang-up there on that. But as far as, you know, what we've decided on the water main extensions and whatnot, I don't know. So I haven't seen anything on that, no.
Yeah, so the drawing that was shown to me, I guess the concern for you, Ian, would be the inspection of that water line. The property owner had told me that Dawson had put foam down on top of the water line, and I know that it's still only about 2.5 feet down, even at the foundation of his house, which has now been backfilled. Where the water line comes in through the sidewall, there's approximately 3 feet of fill on top of it, right, even at the foundation.
Sure.
So we're going to have to seriously discuss how this water line went in, obviously without an application, but
I had a talk with Dawson about this already. We're going to, like I said, I think they're planning to just rerun the water line, so,
okay, so
I don't know what and how. They had envisions of the property being brought up X amount of feet. This might be the drawing you're talking about, which I have not seen. But that site plan as far as bringing it up, but I mean, they're aware they need to do the inspections on them and everything, so there's no. They were just, those guys were there, they threw it in when they were doing the foundation or whatnot, and that was that. You know, I mean, it's so it's not, I don't think there's any contention here. We'll just, they'll have to rerun the line and do it, you know, with depth. So if they're gonna plan to have X amount of feet of fill put over it, like I said, I had that conversation. They got to have some pretty pointed areas, you know, some marks along the property that we know we're going to hit in order to get depth and everything else, so.
Yeah. Because I know right now that the, I guess there's a 2-inch stub that comes off of the new main, and then they run the 1-inch service line down underneath our Class 6 road on a map, and then eventually cut into his property to his home.
That's already in, too?
Oh, yeah, the service line is already connected to the new main.
Oh, Jesus. News to me.
Yeah, and it's news to us as well. We didn't know what the extent of the hookup was actually accomplished, but yeah, it's actually connected.
Okay.
I don't know where the curb stop valve is at that 2-inch, but unfortunately, the 1-inch service line on a map now appears to be the water main before it then cuts the boundary onto his property.
Okay. Yeah, and unfortunately, I have no knowledge of any of this. But the I know that the conversation I had with him about a week ago was over this water main extension and whether or not that property owner. I don't know where you guys are falling on this. We need to get that taken care of so I can kind of relay that. But I had told him they can't cross our. So I don't know if this was done recently or this was already done. I have no idea. But I don't know how long ago this occurred. But if they did it when they were just doing other work up there, but the we as far as I'm concerned, the tap needs to be in front of the property line. We're not going to run down the road X amount of feet before hooking over. We're not going to let them cross our Class 6s or anything else. So, you know, we can I'll talk to them again when I get off with you guys. But that's we do need to figure out what we're doing with the actual main extension so they can figure that out. Whether they're going for a well, if they're not currently on the well on the, you know, in front of this new water main, then they can apply for a well if they want to, you know, so we just got to be able to give people those options. If you want to extend the main, you can, or if you want to drill a well, you can. We're denying access to the water system.
Okay.
Well, extending the main too, we were considering, you know, having them extended at least to the far end of their property so that the next
That would be my suggestion to you guys is that anyone that wants, if the main doesn't, you know, if it's not in front of their house currently, then they need to extend it to the end of their property line at their expense. And, yeah. I mean, obviously that's going to be $30,000 for these guys, so they may decide to just drill a well. But
okay. So while Kelly's here, I wanted to involve him in this discussion because he's getting ready to do final grade on roads, and the question will be, what does he do at the top with the new pump house and the new tank, where does he end that grading?
I would stop. I mean, this isn't, I don't know if this is an answer that I can give you guys exactly. That's probably, I don't know if Chris is on yet, but that's more of a question for him. As far as the project bounds of the contract or whatnot, I would assume anything inside of that construction zone. So kind of where the road opens up into what used to look like a, you know, hammerhead turnaround or whatever. So anywhere beyond that point where his gate is up would be, under the contract of getting that back up to snuff. I don't know. That's, like I said, I don't know what the contract bounds are on that, but with the amount of work that went on in there, I wouldn't assume that's going to fall on standard road conditions. That's going to be, you know, clean up for the project.
Yeah, we need to understand that because you need access there during the winter and during the mud season. So what I want to hope and make sure is that you don't have mud to deal with during mud season. So I want to make sure the proper material is put down.
Yep.
So we're going to figure that out with what is written in the contract. Kelly's going to talk to Jake tomorrow, hopefully get some of that defined. But to be honest with you, just so everybody knows, the Class 6 road in that area actually begins at the corner of the driveway of that last house, number 5 Reinhardt Road. That's where Class 5 ends. So
gotcha.
We're now driving another 300 feet or so to that new pump house on Class 6. And, of course, you know the rules in New Hampshire about building Class 5 roads on a Class 6 designation, which is one of our, hopefully, our proposed warrant articles is to reclassify that so that that road can be maintained. Mm-hmm. We can't maintain it as a Class 6.
Oh, so you're saying right now Kelly can't plow that Class 6 area?
Legally, he's not supposed to.
Understood.
Never was supposed to.
Plow access to the pump house.
Yeah, we're just plowing access to that pump station, but legally,
okay,
he's not even supposed to do that.
So no, I hear what you're saying.
To readjust that Class 5 line, put it past the pump house.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Perfect. Actually, and I know Kelly's got places to be, so we talked quickly about it, and if he has to jump off, that's fine. But just so you guys know, the connection at 8 Idlewise Drive, whatever the one is on Burn, that's essentially, we're going to be connecting on Idlewise Drive, 8 Burn, I guess. We are going to have to plan to do a full shutdown road on that day, so obviously we're going to try to jam that in before you guys get the paving done. So that the paving can be done there as well. But we are going to have to detour that road because the water main is going to be on the opposite side of the road. So just for some foresight on that, we'll get you guys a date as soon as we can. It's probably going to be close to the paving date, but we'll get that done prior to paving.
Okay, so my question to you on that particular property is, are you going to come through the shrubs on the Idlewise Drive side and cut it from his property that way, or are you going to come out first?
I mean, that's the game plan. If we're connecting to Idlewise Drive, then it's going to be off Idlewise Drive. I'm not going to run it down Burn. So that's what we want to do, right? That's the intention, is to connect to the 2-inch main on Idlewise Drive.
Yeah, so I'm thinking that we can create a detour right at Burn, then vehicles down Burn to Platts, and then come back out on Hotwell mm-hmm. to get around.
Okay.
And my other question is, with regards to now that school is open, can you start this cut in the road, that closure, after the school buses pass?
Which is at what time?
I got to get the times, but I believe it's around the 8 o'clock time. There's a couple of different buses, one for the high school and one for the elementary. Let me get those times, but all should be going out of there before 8:15.
I mean, we can certainly shoot for that. Obviously, we typically start a little earlier than that, but that's okay.
Okay.
I think we can, but the problem is I don't think we'll have it done by the time the buses are coming back through at 3:30.
All right.
You never know. I mean, we might have a perfect world and it happens, you know, really well. But I mean, just the assumption would be that, you know, we're usually in the road. One like that where we're cutting the pavement and digging across there, it might be a little bit longer than the average, you know, dirt road. So.
Okay.
We'll see what we can do.
With the school bus and the town.
So will that,
yep.
Cutting through the woods will still require running over the 6-inch force main?
Yeah,
I believe so.
Okay.
October 9th is a school holiday. 12th is a school holiday.
Oh, the 12th? 9th and the 12th?
No school teacher works.
Really?
9th, 12th.
The 12th is
no school Columbus Day.
Okay, on this Columbus Day.
That helps, you know. I thought I'd let you know.
It's
probably going to be busy in here that day, though. That's the thing.
What?
They'll probably be busy from traffic of the renters and stuff that day.
Yeah, it is a holiday weekend.
Yeah.
Okay.
Next week.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So I has 7B Afka decided what he's going to do yet?
We sent him. I talked to him last week. Sent him updated information as far as, I mean, it didn't change hardly anything. So that was the last conversation I had with him was, hey, this is, we've done the new spot that you're looking to do it. These are your distances. That's it. That's the only conversation I had with him. So.
All right.
Ian, have you talked to the guy at A-Title-wise?
I have not.
He's looking to find out where to run his line, so it's waiting for you.
I haven't heard anything from anybody from him on that. So unless I missed an email from you guys on it, I haven't seen anything from him.
He tried to get me to contact you.
I'm just having a little trouble hearing you. I couldn't hear what you said there.
Yeah, I told him to contact you, but we've had other whoopses with this too. So I would imagine they contact the office and. I'm staying out of it. He just wanted the contractor, while he's got his equipment there, wanted to know where to put his line.
Yeah, no, I haven't heard anything from them. So once I do, I'll pop in. I mean, I'll pop in on him anyway now that I know that, if I see him over there. But no, I hadn't heard anything from him. So.
Now, do we have a water hookup application and his check?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we approved that last week.
Last week, okay.
Yeah, I just sent an email. When you approved it, I sent it to Ian.
Ian. Okay, so Ian has his contact information.
I don't send.
Yeah.
I don't send the. I just say that it was approved.
Okay.
Right.
So I don't know. Should I be sending the approval, Ian?
The application.
The application to you.
No, I don't. The way you've been doing it has been fine. I just. I'm not sure what the. We usually just hear from the contractor, or you guys give my name or whatever, and they get in touch with me, and I line it up with them. But I don't think we need to reinvent the wheel. Let's see.
All right, so
they have.
Ian should be contacting you.
Yeah.
All right. So
Ian, if you're in and you do not meet up with Mr. James Nyman at number 8 on West Drive, you could simply, you got a can of spray paint in your truck.
I can put a post where we're planning to put it.
Yep, and that's all he'll need to have his contract to go ahead and excavate and maybe cut some trees down to get that started. And then we can schedule it right across the road. Okay?
Yep.
All right. Kelly, anything else?
No, Ian? Is there a fill permit?
Permit to 28 boroughs.
Yep. We're moving on to fill permits, Ian. Hang on just a sec. While Kelly's still here.
Ian, are you going to line that paving up with Brian?
For the front end of the road, for the Idlewise Drive section, yes, they're going to be the ones that are in there doing the paving. That Brian's the one doing the paving everywhere else. I mean, honestly, Dawson probably will. I if he's already working for Dawson on the rest of it, then I don't know. I mean, are we paying? I guess we're paying them through Idlewise on that one. So, we'll get it taken care of. We'll make sure they get there and get it done.
No, Idlewise won't be paying for it. Mr. Nyman will be paying for it. Okay.
All right. Whoever's paying. I mean, I think typical, you guys will pay for it and then backbill the customer for it or whatever. I mean, my bill and all the other contractors' bills will likely go to Idlewise where they're working for Idlewise.
Yep. Exactly. So just to change gears just a little bit, I have what is called a disposal agreement for Phil at number 28 Byrne Drive. The property owner is... you're about the spelling.
Robin
in Edmund Sylvester. Okay, here we go. All right, I'll make that motion that we approve the fill permit for 28 Byrne Drive. Wait a second.
I'll second.
Okay, seconded. Any further discussion?
Nope.
All in favor say aye.
Yes.
Just signing this.
So, Ian, we had a request for details of the pump house, the Reinhardt pump house schematics.
Yep.
Do we have that? Do you have that from EII?
Nope. No, I'm not taking any part in any of that. That's, you guys should already have a design drawing and whatever else from Chris, and that's, I don't know what else you got, whoever and whatever they're looking for, but.
Oh, I thought you were doing some of that work up there in the pump house.
Yep. Yeah, we are, but that's not, I'm going off the plan drawing I have, so you guys have everything I'm working off.
Okay.
Okay. All right. I'll get that from either Tom or from Chris.
Yep. No, that should be, I mean, you guys should have that with whatever the original, whatever the contract is, you know, should have the drawing for the upper pump house.
Well, it actually came after the contract, but it was part of the contract, yeah, you're right.
Or whatever, yeah, the addendum or whatnot from it.
So just one quick question before you leave, Kelly, the new plow truck status?
I'm still waiting for months for blaming cannoli virus, so they but they've got everything else piled. One thing he has to do before he gets into the rest.
Okay.
We still got time.
All right. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Oh. Oh yeah. Yeah. Two last things. Because we did a fill permit. I kind of take care of the fill. I give people what they need typically. We have a couple people that are overdoing it. Really, they're asking for too much. They think because there's a pile of stuff that we have the time and the falling all day.
Yeah.
We have a repeat person that was so thrilled with what we brought him. He's coming back and wants five more loads. And this was intended to be as we're doing grid. When we have a truckload, we'd rather than dumping it and then filling it, we'd bring it when we were doing the job. Now they're seeing a pile of fill and say, well, you got all that. Can you bring me five? Can you give me, you know? And which, if we have the time, I but we call and complain to the office that they're not getting filled. We don't have it intended to help us rather than finding a place or stockpiling it. We had a home that we knew needed it. We'd go bring it on our time. So there's two people right now that are taking advantage of it. So,
okay.
Have they complained?
No, but when it comes, I think one of them is going to, and one of them said that, when are you going to have more fill? I need more fill. And so I'm not going to deal with it. I'm just going to say we're done. I have other people that want it. This is a new one today. I'd rather give everybody a little bit than help out some subcontractor that's trying to make a buck.
Yeah. It's really a courtesy.
It's a courtesy. And
right.
It helps us out. It's a good thing.
Yeah.
We got tons and tons of it at one point.
Mm-hmm.
We got rid of almost all of it. We get some more, we get rid of it. So if you hear something or something comes through, we're busy.
Yeah.
So if we have a truckload and we know this guy needs it, we'll bring it on our time. We're not going to have him there waiting with his backhoe ready to backfill so we can keep bringing it. That was never the intention of what we do here. So if there's a complaint, then I'm handling it.
Okay.
Yeah, this is a convenience for both the property owner and the district.
Right.
But it's not a guaranteed service.
It was an intent to give someone a load of fill to fill in their backyard.
Right.
This is becoming loads.
Yeah.
That's what this is about.
Yeah. Well, we even got a request not too long ago for sand. You know, that we purchased.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Well.
Oh.
Okay.
So that's that and that. And
all right.
Donna. Me and Donna were concerned about it.
Okay.
Because she deals with them on the phone and then relays.
All right. Okay.
The last thing is we talked about paving. We went over the budget. We looked at the paving line. I'd like to give Brian a yes, we can do 2001. No, and it's not that I have a certain place I'd like to reach in the pavement. There's a cutoff where if we reach that section, we'll stop. I'm not going to use it because we have it, but 14's not going to make it. Want to save $1,000 there just to come in under budget?
Well, you've got 17.
You got 17. You got
to go 3 through 14.
Yeah. So what do you need? 216?
216.
Okay.
That'll get me closer, if not to where I want to be.
Okay.
unless you want to do the 17 and call it. But what I'm going to tell them is this is the number, don't go over it. When they get to 17, that's for the top.
Can't they give you a number to get to where you need to be?
They can't because it changes. You might have an inch here, you might have 3 inches because of the shim. And what they do with the shim is they hit the road. So if a road has a dip or it's out of shape, the shim re-takes. They gave me a good idea. They said 14 is going to get to this point, maybe more, maybe less, but it's not to where I want to be.
And where you want to be, can you, for the purpose of the commissioner, is to take a can of spray paint and go up and spray paint a line as to where you want to be?
I want to be at the end of Jungfrau.
Oh, so right
the
down
end
to
the Jungfrau.
Yeah, at that intersection.
That finishes that road.
All right.
Because right at Jungfrau, there's a patch of good asphalt.
Yes, there is, yeah.
We can start, and there's a water, where they put a water line into that new house.
Yeah.
That kind of breaks up. Mm-hmm. To that point, then the rest of it will be another project.
Yeah.
That will complete a project.
Does everybody understand that? There's still pavement beyond Jungfrau, but we're not going to
go over that.
We're going to go up the hill. I don't know how much you're asking for.
So we'll make a motion to
approve. I feel greedy asking for all of it. If you want to say we came in on the budget, it always sounds good to people. But
well, I don't think that's why we're doing it. I think we're not.
So the more the better.
But I guess when you get 17 and you get to that point and it's 16, are you going to stop or are you saying you're going to go?
We're going to stop and break in the road.
That's what I want to know.
Okay.
Right. Okay.
So up to an additional $3,000. So we'll give you up to the full 17.
Yeah.
So I'll make a motion that we appropriate $17,000 to bring the pavement as far as possible to the Jungfrau intersection. Second?
Okay. And I'll second that.
Thank you. All in favor, say aye.
Yes. There you go.
I just want to make sure, Lynn, you got that number? Okay. And that's out of our budget.
And Kelly, when you were talking about Bergdorf Culvert the other day, we were talking about the total amount, and we were rereading it for something else, and it was, whatever the amount was, it got reduced to 10, then we added another 3 back in, so it's 13.
Oh, good.
Okay, because I thought you said 10, but it ended up being 3.
Yeah, scribble it said 10, right,
Don? Well, that's right.
It
that,
said 10, I think.
It said 10, and then somebody said, well, if we can't get the excavator,
right,
we ought to put another 3,000 back in.
You done that with that Warren article?
Yes.
I went back and went.
And then it got approved at 13.
But we're not telling you that.
No.
I'm just saying,
you know, this would help us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because putting...
Oh, you did do all that.
Payroll in there would really help.
Doing it for another reason.
Yeah.
We also, there was also a 5,000 warrant article
proof
for saving
Idaho Drive.
Yeah, we're not
going to
use it.
You're not
going to
do that.
We're going
to
have that one back.
Okay.
So I'll just put it on a 5,000.
Okay. Do you show 13 also?
I had 13. I read through all of it.
Yeah, because there was a little bit of back and forth there, so you did have the 13.
So we'll come in on the budget.
Okay.
All right. Anything else?
No, but we are starting that. Monday.
Okay.
The metal wall is ready to be delivered.
You already moved the barriers out of the way?
Some barriers. We did some work preliminary with the backhoe.
Good.
We're going to have a hill. So may not get to the next one.
All right.
How's your wrist feel?
Better.
Yeah.
Oh, you got the cast off.
Yeah. He had it off the Tuesday.
And that was all planned for this project. I was for the project, and I planned that months ago that I'd be ready for that.
Mm-hmm. Don't say it.
Right here.
Okay. So we move that to 17.
All right. Thank you, Kelly.
I'm going to pick rocks.
All right. I want to swing back to Ian while we got him on the line. Ian, you still on the line?
I'm still here.
Great. So this is your monthly meeting.
Yep.
So can you give us the status of where you are? I'll let you start.
Yep. Okay. So we just we've completed Chicora Pump House. So that's all up and running. Meters are, you know, that one's at 100%. Beyond that, I think this kind of plays into, we've had some issues up at the Summit station on call form hits. Our most recent resample came back clean. So, that's good news. And I think it was just kind of a the timing of her sampling and what we had going on with the Shikora station, with overdrawing Summit tanks substantially. And the month before, we had had the issue with the air compressor draining down the hydropneumatic side. So we had a couple of times where the conditions were not normal. And to understand, you know, coliform is not the same thing as an E. coli hit. That's why there's no notification or anything about it. It's just a, you know, more precursor. But anyway, so we, you know, it's just sometimes when you have conditions outside of normal conditions, you can run into some, you know, some abnormalities. And I think that's all it was. We did go through, look for, you know, we did what's called a level one assessment on the building, I mean, on the entire system, and did find some things at the stations and some other areas that needed addressing, almost very similar to doing a sanitary survey, you know, just kind of an off-scheduled one. So found some things, and we've been working on fixing those up, including, you know, the buildings and whatnot. So that's all kind of coming to an end. So hopefully we don't have any, you know, future problems on that. I think it's been years. Summit seems to always be the place that we've hit, got coliform hits, but it's been a long time since we've had one, you know, 5 years plus. So, you know, hopefully that's behind us for the time being. What else we got? I mentioned the air compressor. That's, you know, that was just, we had a failure of the air compressor up at the Summit station. It was 25 years old. Mechanical device happened. So that's been replaced. Just coming forward, we have flushing coming up, so I'll be scheduling with you guys probably right after Columbus Day for that. And we may look to, depending on budget, look towards doing a leak survey again at that time. Right afterwards, we'll probably try to get a leak survey done between October and November.
Okay. One thing I just wanted to throw into your thought mechanism. Under Rick Skarenka's sanitary survey that he did last year, one of the suggestions he had was to pour concrete at the floor of Muddy Beach.
Yeah, that was a conversation he and I had. It's not super practical at this point, but yeah, it wouldn't be a bad idea. It's going to cost a little more than if we had done it before.
So let me ask the question. Is there anything that would prevent you from wanting to move forward with that if we have the money?
If we have the money, no. I mean, I'd love to have a Port 4 in there. I think we have a dehumidifier that runs constantly just to keep the moisture down in there because of, you know, the fact that an open floor. We'd have to dig the floor down at this point as opposed to just pouring on top of it just because all the pipe sets and pump heights and all that's been done. So we just have to dig out some of that stone prior to pouring the concrete, which is just more labor, you know, for whoever's doing it. But it's doable, and it would be a good thing to have. You know, all the floors would be nice if all the floors are concrete. You know, there's higher issues on the priority list. I think Summit Station in general, the building just needs to be addressed. You know, it's been just kind of like we found some trim board that's just wide open. I mean, there's just a lot of animal pathways in there. And I mean, I think, I don't know if you've actually done the walkthrough in there, Jay. I know Kathy's been in there. I doubt Paula has been, but you guys are all welcome to come up and take a look at it. It's just, you know, there's a lot of animal activity. We just got done cleaning it because part of this, we decided, you know, clean out the whole thing. We usually do it spring and fall, but just with the hits, we just decided to clean everything out. So it's all clean right now, but I mean, it's, you know, that insulation and the animal activity in there is a real, real issue. So I would put that ahead of it.
So last week we talked about this, and I'm going to reach back out to Norm Garside because he did give us a quote to build a mezzanine, get all that old insulation out, and do some spray foaming in there. And there is money left in that warrant article, and that was actually one of the things included in the warrant article was insulating that building. So
nice.
get in touch with him to see if he can still do it. Look at the quote again.
Yeah, I think you guys would find that would go a long way just to tightening the building up from the activity, and that would make, you know, again, I don't believe that has anything to do with this hit. The tanks are tight and everything. We weren't missing screens. There was nothing like that. So, I mean, and obviously if you had, you know, animal activity in the tank, you're going to get an E. coli hit, not a coliform hit. But all the same, it's just, you know, the building just needs, that specific building just needs to have some TLC to the outside of it, the insulation. And, yeah, so that would be great if we look towards that. If that's part of the Warren article and we still had money, then, yes, I, you know, I mean, as far as
these are the kind of the same projects I look towards every year. I mean, I'd love to get a chemical station put in down at DPW just for multiple reasons, you know, safety being the primary one, but just getting a chem sink put in down there for the pump maintenance and just to have a place where it's a little more organized and, you know, so that's always been high on my list, getting that done. I don't think it's a huge money project. It's just something that would greatly improve having, you know, we have to walk the hydroxide pumps across the building to the guys, you know, mess sink in the bathroom in order to do, you know, chem pump maintenance, and it's just not, it's not ideal, you know, when you're working with a dangerous substance there. So, you know, that's, if we have money towards the end of this year, I'd love to talk to you guys about some stuff. I mean, I always have a wish list of stuff we can look towards.
You talked about raising that tank up.
Yep. There's a couple of things that I'd like to do down in that, specifically in the chem room over. Yeah, I guess we did talk about a lot of these. You know, raising that tank up, adding grading so that we're not walking on the 8-inch concrete, you know, in case somebody slips. And I mean, again, you guys very well may all understand what hydroxide is, but if you were to expose yourself to that in a, you know, accidental fashion, you know, like again, slip off the concrete ledge and land on top of that tank and have it splash on you, you're pretty well, you know, you're pretty well done for. So it's just something that it's not, there's some stuff in there that we could do to greatly improve the safety of that building and the, you know, the workability around it without spending a tremendous amount of money. So, that would be high on the list. That the floor at Muddy Beach would be on the list. I think general TLC maintenance on the Chicora with pump station building at this point, now that the, you know, the work's done, the decking is all, I mean, we could maybe take some time and walk through some of these things so you guys know what I'm talking about. But the decking's been hacked out over the years over, you know, God knows what different projects and whatnot. And, you know, just a lot of the buildings are older and just haven't had a lot of upkeep. Some of them have, you know, Muddy Beach, Jungfrau, they're pretty well, you know, other than the floor at Muddy Beach, the buildings themselves have been gone over. But, you know, there's still some buildings that need some updating. So,
Ian, could you do us a favor and get us a list of some of these, I'll call them smaller projects?
Yeah, absolutely.
And could you get us a list and get us those dollar values so that we can make decisions fairly quickly?
Yeah, there'll be rough numbers, you know, we'll give or take 10-15% because you never know once things get shipped and all that stuff, but, you know, an actual labor on the installs. But, yeah, I can give you pretty good ballpark numbers on them so that we know kind of the hierarchy of how much stuff costs.
Okay, great. Thank you.
That's it. Like I said, that's all we got.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I just want to let you know I did drop off those lead copper tests on.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Polly has that.
And at some point, Ian, could you come when you're in the village? I have your invoices like from Smithfield and FW Webb, and they just go to the water budget line, you know, repairs. But I don't know if, like, some of them go to the Chicora pump house. So I want to put this in the right
bucket.
You know, bucket so that everything lines up with the budget.
Absolutely.
I'd appreciate that.
Yeah, we can do that.
And just while we still have talking about it, some of those swing tie information's on a lot of these new water hookups. We still need that for us.
Yep. I can actually have Dave drop in. He's got, I think, almost all of them at this point, so I'll have him. He's going to be right down that way. You can pop in and drop those off. He and Donna can do some photocopies, and we'll just take the originals and put them in the card file, and you guys can have the photocopy version.
All right. That'd be great.
All right.
Anything else?
Perfect.
I just have one question, Ian, and I know this probably has to do with Tom, but the SCADA lines, when I have to read the, now that Muddy Beach 2 is online, it's a faint yellow, and I can't really read the numbers properly.
Okay. Well, what we'll do, Don, is next day I have Tom in there, which he will be back for just a general upkeep at some point before the wintertime. That's the type of things. Just put a list down of anything you want him to work on, and that's definitely a him thing, but he can change the colors to whatever you guys, whatever works for you.
This is faint, and
I'm 99% sure that's a very quick thing for him, and he'll be getting into some programming in any way on some different items, so that's not a problem at all. We can have him update anything like that you'd like to see change.
Okay,
All right. On that same note with the SCADA system, so these new meters that were installed at the Chicora pump station, are they tied to the SCADA as well?
I'm not 100% sure, but I don't think so. I think that's what I got Tom coming back to get the transducer. The meters are all hooked up and powered and everything. They're reading in the stations. They may not be reading at the SCADA system. Yeah, he's got to come and put that programming in, I believe.
Okay, so when that gets done, what Donner and Lynn see on the daily report for water usage, that will change for them, right? They'll see two new data points for the meters in the station.
Two new data points, yes. Yep, it'll have, for Chicora station alone, it'll have two new meter readings on it, one in, one out.
So when Tom does that, if he could just correspond with the office to make sure that they're aware of what these two new meters are all about. Okay?
Yep, absolutely.
All right, thank you. Okay. Anybody have anything else for Ian? Ian, you have anything else for us?
No, not at the moment.
Okay, great.
All right, guys.
All right, you're for you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Ian.
Bye.
Okay. We got the DPW out of the way. Water. So now we're on to admin report. Moving pretty good.
All right. Came across issue with the water hookup application and ordinance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
The water ordinance states that the connection must be submitted by August 1st. And on the application, it says September 1st.
Okay.
So I just need to know what to change, what to. I had highlighted
it. The ordinance would be what you follow.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll have to change this then.
Happy change without the hearing, the application, I would think so. It's not a...
Yeah, you can change the application form to comply with the current ordinance.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I happen to be putting in the 9 Reinach.
Yeah.
And I caught it, and then I pulled the ordinance.
Yeah.
So,
okay. Good catch. Wonder how long that's been inconsistent.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, and I want to let you know that the second reimbursement for the state is either in our account, or will be tomorrow.
Okay, so that'll be the $108,000 from the grant.
Yeah.
Okay.
I did get the Lowe's bill for the picnic table, and I know the EPOA was supposed to give us the money for that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Dinah, if you're still on the phone. Do I ask you for the money, or do I have to bill somebody?
Well, I think it's a written
can
request.
Can you send the bill to the EPOA?
Yeah.
Certainly. Okay. So I'll just send an invoice to the EPOA.
Yep.
No problem. I did call the school to save the date for the 6th of March.
Mm-hmm.
There's a form that needs to be filled out. Which I have, I would probably need your signature, being the chair, on it. I can fill it out and drop it off even on, I don't have it, I can't, maybe they'll copy it for me. The only thing is that we need an umbrella plan, proof of insurance, that includes the COVID-19 protocols. So is that something I can call Primex for?
Who is asking for
the school.
Oh, the school is asking.
Yeah. Okay. And there is a $25 cleaning fee now that they require.
Okay.
Well, we never determined what times we were going to have the meeting, did we?
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
The meeting would be at 10.
Yeah.
Voting would be 8 to 10.
Right.
It was in the minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
I remember discussing it. I don't recall that we finalized that. Okay.
Yeah.
So 8 to 10 a.m.
It's the voting.
And on Saturday. Okay.
And that was, the date was March 6th?
March 6th.
8 a.m. is the meeting.
Yeah. And
that's 2021.
Yeah. I think that's That's it that I had that I had questions.
I guess to ask Primax if they have that.
Yeah, I just, like I said, I was just, I spoke with Linda,
Shafford
is here at the town, that's she told me, and then I called the school yesterday, and they said I can, drop it off, or, you know, I can even scan it to them, so.
Okay.
I'm just going to confer with my other two commissioners. So I'd ask here if there's anything additional to the gym that we require. And if we recall, last year we had problems with the voting booth.
Mm-hmm.
We were setting up the wrestling mats.
There was no petition.
So the old booths that we probably remember, those are gone.
Okay.
They have new booths. And so I'll ask that we request those new two booths.
Voting booths?
Or three. Do we want to do... Have to have the handicapped? Yeah. One handicapped and two regular?
That's
okay.
What we got. Any tables, chairs?
Pardon? We'll require you for the restrooms. I don't know if you have to put that or if that's included, but just for cleaning.
No, that's
I think
understood.
That's considered the cleaning fee.
Yeah.
Okay.
That we have to pay.
Okay.
And that's open
the
anyway.
The only thing, too, is we have the issue with the key.
Yes. Uh-huh.
So I don't know how that...
I don't know if you remember that. We couldn't get
in.
Yeah, we couldn't get in. We had the key,
but
we couldn't get in, right?
Yeah.
Well, we had the wrong key.
Yeah.
They locked the door inadvertently, and we were like 10 minutes before the time we were supposed to start. We still couldn't get in.
Yeah.
And we reached out to Bob Ingram.
I will.
Yeah.
Make sure he's let him know what the date is, and that it's going to be Saturday morning and the time.
Okay, so the polls are open at 8, but do we want to be there at 7?
Yeah, I would say so. We can set up the tables, the chairs, the booth.
When will we close?
So, and what do you think, Gloria?
What's that?
If we start the deliberative session at 10 a.m., will we be done by 2?
Oh, yeah.
Right. That way it'll give us a chance to pick up the chairs and put the things back that we have to. So, yeah.
Expected number of attendees?
Last year there were 56, I think I read in the minutes.
Yeah.
Plus all the, I think that was just public.
The deliberative session, right?
Plus there were, 20 other people there?
That came and left, yeah.
But,
75.
Yeah.
I don't think there'll be more than 100. I mean, who knows what the situation is going to be by March. It's so hard to say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There may be no meeting.
And so you said that we'll be paying $25 for, is that custodial services will be provided by the school and paid for by the organization?
Yes, the events, to my knowledge.
Okay.
They told me that it was $25.
Day is the first.
Yeah, it was 1 year ago today. Nancy had her.
Yeah.
I saw her in Home Depot yesterday. I didn't talk to her, but I just saw her there, so.
All right.
Lynn,
Donna, anything else for administrative?
Lynn, I have to say, Lynn's been a big help. Unfortunately, she was out with her eye issue last week, but even this week, so many things have gotten. Like, we're on top of things once, but I'm worrying that I'm not doing.
Okay.
You had in your on the agenda the testing results of the P-Porch bond?
Yep, that's the right.
This is the pond. So
that's the VLAP. Those the VLAP reports. VLAP reports.
Yeah. All right, I didn't see anything that stuck out on you. Anybody have a chance to look at these?
Did you send them out?
No.
I didn't.
I know she
didn't. Oh, I'll send them out.
I'll look at them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. Sorry.
Sorry.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The approval of minutes.
I'll make the motion to approve the minutes of September 24th. 2020 and September the 29th, 2020.
I'll second that.
Thank you. All in favor, say aye.
Yes.
Aye. Okay.
and I'll post those, or Lynn and I can post those.
Okay. We have a table for the regular operating budget.
Yeah. Here.
Yep. And that was against a warrant article.
All right.
Yep. Whether it's a water hookup, whether it's a repair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay. All right.
Yeah, that's all done. Yeah.
Next one is for Lowe's. $94.99.
Picnic table?
Yeah.
And you know, even though we'll be hopefully reimbursed by the EPOA, that you, we still have to show that we paid for it, and in the income, we show it as income. That's just, we don't just knock it off that we ever paid for it because someone else paid for it. You have to
right.
show it. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Next one is for Lowe's.
That's the testing, the blood testing.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, and there's two invoices for that.
Okay, that's drinking water testing.
No, that's the pond.
Oh. I'm just trying to remember. I know we opted not to have the weekly bacteria testing.
That was the beach testing.
Right, but this is the monthly pond test.
Yes.
Yeah.
what's in the...
Hold on, that is... Oh, there's two invoices here for that as well. Totally $174.62.
Are those culprits?
No, just for the pump.
Okay.
That's true. Hello, $84.99.
I'll make a motion that we approve manifest for the from the operating budget for $9,951.51. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
All right. Any further discussion? Favor say aye.
Yes.
Aye. Pond testing.
And what that information is.
Yeah, it is on a website.
Especially on the New Hampshire DES. All the reports are on the DES website.
I don't have a computer.
You don't have a computer.
I wondered if I could.
I think you just gave her a copy of the test. Mm-hmm. Okay, and I think it lists all the locations for the VLAP testing.
Okay.
Where they
yeah.
I think it does. I've looked at them before.
All right.
Yeah.
If they go and they. The guys from the EPOA do it. They pull the water from like.
Okay.
Several
different locations
yeah.
around the pond.
I just wondered if I could have a copy of
yeah.
the
pond.
Yeah.
If that's the one you're looking for, yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, moving down to the signature items. We did the one, fill application with 28 Burn Drive. We have a letter for Chris Albert regarding Bryant's as the preferred paving
mm-hmm.
contractor for the district.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody get a chance to read?
Mm-hmm. That was fine.
Yeah. Sure, okay. Not very good with English.
Is it your second language?
Yeah.
Do it in certain pictures.
Did you have those for us to sign today or not?
Jay's signing it, then we're signing it.
Yeah.
Just send it this way.
There you go. Now, Chris is going to submit that to DES. Is that
yes.
story?
Yeah, so I'll forward that to Chris.
Okay. All right. So we'll go down to you.
No, this is just the...
Yeah, I just wanted to touch base real quick with Kathy. On the newsletter, I don't know if you got the picture of the tower that I took.
Mm-hmm.
We might want to add that.
Well, I sent it out this morning because it was the September newsletter,
oh.
but I'll put it in the October one. I wanted to get clarification from you as to what the tower actually is providing for a service. I wanted to put that in there. So if you could tell me that, I will put that on the October newsletter.
Yeah, it's 911 communication services from both the Sheriff's Department, Conway Police, also a repeater up there to cover the dead spots in Madison that exist as a result of the shadow that hill creates. 911, right.
If it's a signal repeater for 911 communications between
yep.
for the sheriff and local police.
Right.
Okay, for and local police. Okay. And how tall is it?
I was told 110
feet. 110 feet? Okay. Okay. Yes, I did get the picture. I will put that in the next newsletter.
Okay.
Okay.
So talking a little bit about the DRA, Department of Revenue Administration, I got, again, another automated message. You got them as well, Ken, for the forms that we need to submit. But I've been trying to get a hold of Michelle Clark. She's our DRA representative.
Mm-hmm.
I know Donna's been trying to call. We're advised to call early in the morning, earlier, like 7 or 8 o'clock, to try to get a hold of her. Unsuccessful. You've tried emails. I've tried emails. No reply.
Have we gotten any reply from her at all?
No.
Okay. Only because I know you were reaching out to Tamer, and we had either an old or an incorrect email address.
Right.
So that's okay. So we do have a correct address for Michelle.
Yep.
Okay.
And
that's,
we have
the question.
Cell phone
and her office number, and just no reply. So normally, if she was out of the office, incapacitated for whatever reason, it'd be forwarded to some other agent.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not even hearing that or seeing that.
I'm sorry, what's Michelle's last name?
Clark.
How long have we not heard? Like, the last 2 weeks?
No.
Oh, two, three, four
we've been
months.
Trying to call the main number and ask whoever answers
that's
the phone.
That's what I wanted to do next, and then possibly even sending a certified mail.
Oh, no, I wouldn't go that.
Just call and say why. We've been trying to reach Michelle. Is she not around? Is there a reason we wouldn't
heard?
Yeah. Just call and ask somebody.
So
that's where I start.
Now, in the meantime, we did sign one document, and we did this back in late March.
Yeah, you were gonna, you were still reaching out to her to see.
Yeah.
I haven't heard back from.
Did she left?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I would think her phone system would be deactivated.
I wouldn't know in this time
right now.
But anyhow. So I'll take a look at the others that are reported as missing, and I guess all they need to be done is signed, scanned, and uploaded.
Okay.
Now, we did that. I sat with you back in, it was after last year's annual meeting, and we did that. We had to do the annual meeting minutes.
Mm-hmm.
We did all, uploaded it. Now
was this the note? It was like an email that said you haven't done X.
Yeah.
I did get that, because I get that.
Oh, you did too?
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought we talked about it and
take
care, so I didn't. Okay.
We'll try it again. But I don't know why they're not. I mean, I actually went in and saw them. They were there. I did this for a couple of months. I'm like, why are we still getting these emails saying they're missing?
Well, we have to make contact with her or someone soon because we need her when we start putting together the budget and the warrant article. So we've got to have a contact.
Even before that, right now, we need to be setting the tax rate.
Okay. Well, should we do that in October?
I want to be able to talk to her at the very latest next week. This is the month.
I'd call the
main
office.
Number.
Say, we're trying to reach Michelle.
Yeah.
Can you help us get a hold of her?
We don't need a motion to do that. Just do it.
Okay. All right. So there's that. I sent a picture of the memorial plaque.
Mm-hmm.
I guess was removed.
Mm.
And then I saw on Facebook, Lisa Hardeveld had shown that it was removed and thrown into the woods. So I had sent her a response. This is on her Facebook. Could you please hold the sign, and I want to let the Madison police know about this so that if there's any fingerprints, any fingerprints that can be had, that maybe they could trace who did this. He never did respond back to me. I did discussed with a neighbor yesterday that they witnessed, I guess, Andrew Hardeveld went and put it back out.
Mm-hmm. And I saw that it was up yesterday.
Yeah.
It was funny because it wasn't as if somebody pried it off.
They took
some
time to unscrew it.
The four screws and then flung it in the woods, which was childish for one thing, whoever did it.
Disrespectful.
And disrespectful.
From what I saw on Facebook, they did call the police.
They did.
It.
Yeah.
So I don't think
there's
anything for us to discuss.
No.
I'm just wondering, is it, now that it's back up, it's not authorized to go back up. Again, they did the same thing, treating public property as if it's their own. If it's going to spur the same thing again, and maybe even more damage this time.
Well, then.
You know, the Columbus statue in certain cities recently were vandalized, and they decided not to put them back up because it's only going to spur.
Well,
I mean, I don't know. I know it's on public property, but it's such a small.
Yeah.
Somebody else actually set up their own on their property, a little library. There's two of them now.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of nice in the neighborhood.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
The lady, I guess she had one in her before they moved here.
Yeah, right.
Really nice.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to have hearings about that anyhow. I guess the towel pictures are going to go in next newsletter.
Yep.
So clarification on the Barnd article.
Through Michelle last year, she said that the waterline extension fund was adopted under the wrong paragraph in RSA 31.
Yeah.
So I couldn't reach out to Michelle. So I reached out to NHMA, and they said, yeah, you wouldn't adopt it under A. That only had to do with post-employment benefits.
Right.
So he said to go back to Michelle and clarify what she was asking you. And I said, well, in addition to that question, I also asked if a village district can maintain and control expendable trust funds.
Mm-hmm.
And Michelle had said, no, you can't. It has to go to the trustees of the trust in Madison. The district cannot have access to those funds, even though they're in a separate account. So I'm waiting for him to clarify that point. He only clarified one of my two questions.
Right.
And then I also reached out to him with another question. Every time we've gotten 91A requests, we've always sent that information in the PDF format, and we've got a request to send the QuickBooks accounting in the actual spreadsheet format.
Right.
And our concern with anybody is, you know, manipulation of the data and used for inappropriate purposes. Mm-hmm. So is providing them in a PDF all that we're required to do, or are in order to satisfy that request, do we have to send it in an Excel spreadsheet?
No, and I think to the answer to that, and this is my interaction with this town hall, is I asked for the database format for the recent assessment of properties. And what was sent to me was a PDF, and I was told that's all that's required is to send that PDF. So I think we're covered just by doing PDFs. I think that's the safest thing to do.
Well, I was told for another subject that we could not, our QuickBooks, because of personal information on our QuickBooks, we can't send
the whole thing.
So,
no.
Yeah.
But I think even if they're looking, like that report that you sent me for the QuickBooks accounting of the warrant article, in a spreadsheet, I mean, that's all live data, so they could change the information. It won't affect anything at our end.
No.
But it still could be, if we send it as a PDF, that should be all that they, I mean, I don't know
I mean, I've never heard of that. People being able to get a worksheet. Because then they can change it and then send it to people.
That's
not what we sent you. We sent you
right.
X, and then you're in.
Right, that they could change it.
That's why you sent PDF.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
So I just
wanted to clarify it because that's how I was told to do it.
No,
that's fine.
Yep. Okay. But I did reach out to them just so we have official validation of that.
Yeah. I'm glad you did that.
Yeah. Okay.
I think we should have that clarified.
Okay.
So Paula, I'll jump to you.
So I did the edited letter. I don't know if you guys reviewed it or what you want to do with the Kathy. It's a little redundant now, and I was trying to clean it up, and I was just tired, and I said, well, let me get this out. So I don't know if you want to do that now or. I was trying to make it like, should there be a section on water, a section on roads and driveways, and it was just.
I think it had to let the inquiry of a person looking to buy into the district
or a
realtor that, you know, we're not a homeowners association. Here's what we do. Here's what the town of Madison does. So I think that's really, and then we direct them to the ordinances. So I think that would be more than adequate.
Yeah. So this is it now.
Okay.
That's my copy. You guys want to look at
it. The only thing I can do is confirm when the district, and actually Gloria might know, the year that the district was incorporated as a district.
1979?
It was
the 70s, but I was in Florida.
I don't think it matters. You can take it out. I don't know if it matters.
Well, kind of, because it's that long ago. You know, that was kind of the point. So.
Okay,
I thought this looked really good.
I did too.
Okay. All right.
Appreciate your effort in putting that together too.
And then the second thing is the audit RFP.
Yes.
So I don't know if you guys have had a chance to look at it. If not, just next week we should get this out.
Yeah.
Because I did put
Did you send that to us?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, I'll look at it.
Pretty long, but I did
yeah.
try to shorten it versus what I had found.
Yeah, I haven't finished reviewing it. If you don't mind, if we could put it out till next week.
Sure.
Okay.
And then just once we decide on it, we can update those dates. But the goal was to really get it back by, make a decision by mid-November. That was the goal that I had put in. And then I identified in the note I sent you all which firms I found that I thought we should
yeah.
send it to. Some of those were on the
NHMA.
NHMA.
Yeah.
Some of them were not, but I think they're all, they've all done. I'll be surprised if we find something less than what the new proposal is.
Right.
But I think it's worth going to.
No, it is. I mean,
for
it's
sure.
it's recommended, so we're
yeah.
just doing the correct thing.
Yeah.
So, that pretty much wraps up the commission.
If you don't
report.
Have what I sent, just
okay.
Reach
I didn't
out.
See
no,
it. Though.
Has
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
has it.
I think you were definitely on it.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I'll let you know if I don't have it.
But
okay.
if you look at the things, well, look at the whole thing really, because it's not my. You know, I'm not a.
Okay.
Obviously, but look at the. Especially the highlighted things, because those I wasn't sure if they needed to be in there
right.
or
we just got.
Okay.
I think we can wrap up the two correspondents we have in just 2 minutes, because
yep.
David is here. So we have a Andrew Hartebelt has sent an email with regards to the security
mm-hmm.
of the office in the garage.
Mm-hmm.
We had agreed to appropriate up to $500 to buy and install the Ring
mm-hmm.
system, which is a doorbell, so you'll be able to address. Visitors by both video and audio, talk to them through your phone. Now, the second camera that came with this package would be situated outside the garage to monitor anybody coming and going from the garage.
But I would suggest just I think another opinion would be good, unless you know a lot about this stuff,
mm-hmm.
would be maybe to send it to Ron, because he seems to have a lot of experience. Serious?
Yeah, well,
so maybe we send it to him and ask him if he
sure.
agrees with this opinion.
I think we can do that. I've actually spoken to him about it
okay.
as well, and he said, Ring, just do it.
No, but Andrew recommended something different than Ring.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah.
So my
yeah.
question is to send that to Ron and see if he concurs with Andrew's recommendation.
Right.
And then if they don't agree, then
yeah.
we have to decide which one to go with.
Right. But
I just mention
sure.
one thing. My only concern, and I think it's a valid one, is that I have no knowledge or control of, the system would be hooked up to the
network
system. No different than the phone system. I don't know how it works.
Well, that would you get trained? We would make sure it comes in and shows you how it works.
Well, Ring is a very simplistic.
I understand that, but if he thinks it's a better system for
right.
all the reasons. I thought his note made a lot of sense, but I'm not certainly don't an authority in that area.
Yeah.
So I guess my question is, let's ask another authority in that area what they think. And if he says, no, you're fine with Ring, then maybe
mm-hmm.
we're good. But why not ask somebody else?
I'll draft an email to Ron, copy the office.
Yeah.
So
I don't know, unless you guys don't think.
No, I think so.
But I'm thinking on Donna's point. I want these folks to be able to not only operate it, but understand it.
And I can't get a hold.
No, and I think that's a fair issue.
I I'm nervous.
You could also have a conversation you could call Andrew and ask him if he thinks it'll be easy for you to understand and work.
Okay. Thank
you. Just ask
all
him
right.
that. Okay.
Okay. I'll do that. All right.
So write that down, Jay.
Yep. So for the point of time, we have David Modsley and Mark Rassam here, 10:30 on the dot.
Welsh.
You got the floor.
His first question we have is David requested copies of the invoices from the attorney. In well more than 5 days, he made two requests.
To be honest, it was not asked for the attorneys. I have them write his both.
How far back?
This year. Double budget on that line item.
Oh, yeah.
Was well, just the other day's 91A that you requested? I don't know if I got that one. To be honest, David, I don't think.
Did you copy all the commissioners, David, or just the office?
Usually I copy when I send
that.
I don't remember seeing that either.
Yeah. The last one I have from you is from the 29th.
On the budget for this tank project, contract number one and contract number two, it's a verified ESA in the street that the total amount of money from the loan has been disbursed.
Checks that went directly to vendors, and then you add the amount of money that was put into the retainage account, we've spent $1,100,000. We've received against that a check for $66,000 from the grant. There's a check for $108,413 that would be in our checking account today or tomorrow. Okay. Yep. Yep.
So Dawson's total, the total for contract number one and contract number two,
mm-hmm.
with the contingencies in the engineer, mm-hmm. the engineer is getting $39,700. The total is $1,249,400. You're saying $1.1 million of the $1.249 has already been distributed?
We've been billed. There's a couple things that aren't here that we've gotten bills for, I think, that weren't on this when I did this report. But as of the end of September, on September 26th, we've been billed $1,100,000. $1,001,000.
What is that document you're looking at?
I just took a spreadsheet and put all the numbers together.
So it's a spreadsheet you have?
Yes.
The office doesn't
have it? They have the old copy of it. I just updated this yesterday because I knew you were coming in today, which I can give this to you. Okay, so we've spent $1,001,604. So $1,000,001,000. So minus $66,000 for what we got in our first disbursement from the state. Okay, minus the check that's going to be deposited and approved probably today or tomorrow of $108,413
from the state,
mm-hmm. and then we've submitted the third request for $72,000. So when you subtract all that, we end up with $755,161.
And so that includes this $149,000 contingency. Can you see money been spent?
No. No, this is what we've been invoiced for. And here's the detail of that. Now, what we've done on the contingency side is that there was $149,123 set aside for contingencies. Out of that, we have spent, we have $121,000 left under the contingency fund. And the only thing that hasn't been taken out of that we've approved is $37,000 in paving for Bryant Paving. We have $90,000 left in contingency, which has not been allocated to anything. Okay. Now, some of the invoices, and it was a good exercise to go through, some of the invoices that we did pay that was for work on Reinhardt were paid out of the operating budget. For instance, there was a S.W. Cole did the geotech report for the Reinhardt tank site, and that was $6,900. We paid that last year. So that went in the operating budget. It didn't go against the warrant article.
But we have still the opportunity to
reverse that if we want, if we need to. Yep.
The reason we spent it out of the operating budget, we had not yet received the bond at the time that payment was
due.
So we had to take it.
I mean, we could have created the warrant article account, but it wasn't. It was paid for not against the warrant article.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Right. So,
okay.
So that's money that should be attributed to this project that is actually on the operating budget.
Yep.
And that operating budget has already been audited, and you talked about a post-audit adjustment.
But I don't I'm not exactly sure when that got paid. If it, the work was done last year, whether we paid it in January, I don't think so. I think it was paid back in the late summer of last year.
You have to be careful about doing
postcards. Right, and you're right. Yep. Yep. We're not going to do that. But just I want to know how much the project was actually costing us versus what we've paid and what year we paid it.
The bond itself, we are looking at what the actual first payment is versus what the warrant article. The warrant article is $59,000.
Mm-hmm.
Have you determined what the official first payment is going to be next year?
Yes. You want to know what the amount is? Did you send the amortization schedule?
Yeah.
So it was 76,000.
And that's what you got from the attorney?
Yes, from the bond bank.
I got that from Inc.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that Diana and I talked to the bond bank itself. So I just tell you that the lady at the bond bank, Tammy St. Glacius, said to us she didn't know why the attorney sent that table to the village.
Vistra, okay.
And she sent us a table, which I forwarded immediately to everybody here, that had a number of 87,000, which was in an email, which is what we're...
I wasn't sure where you got that figure, that 85,000, when you sent that recent... 87, okay.
You have a copy of the table that we got from the bond bank when Diana first heard the attorney's bogus explanation of why the interest rate was so low. Right? And the analogy he gave you was wrong. But anyway, so...
So do you want us to reach out to the bank that's holding the note to confirm the payment?
Let's say you decide whether you want to look investigate that or not. If you go with your $71,000, that's more than the $59,000. Now, you had sent a letter to the DRA telling the DRA that you expected the first payment to be lower than the $59,000 when you were asking whether it could be carried forward.
Right.
Have you told the DRA that's not true?
No,
higher?
We're not. We discussed this just a few minutes ago. We're still waiting for a lot of correspondence to come back from the DRA on questions such as this.
Yeah.
So the DRA is left with the idea that this is lower.
And we've reached out to them. We just haven't heard back. We're
waiting for an answer from them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
On this issue of it going higher?
Yes.
Okay, that's
one.
Interesting.
Yeah, because we haven't been able to reach Michelle in 4 months on numerous things.
The last part is you also sent, in the application for the grant, it says that part of what this project is trying to accomplish is that there are pipes that are shallow that that's suspected of causing leakage of 30,000 gallons a day of water.
Mm-hmm.
And so they gave you the grant based on that application. And then there was a change in the design. Evidently, that wasn't documented with the engineering change order. Do not put the pipe in the way the first design said for Aspen. And my understanding is, verbally, I guess it's in Arm's recordings, digital recordings, that you're going to follow the old pipe on Aspen.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any documentation as to what the depth, you have pictures of how that pipe got put in? Was there a clerk of the works that watched that pipe go in? How tall the old pipe? That pipe down 6 feet embedded the entire way.
Ian
was up there almost every day.
Yeah, we
and
can
Chris was up
Ian
there at least once or twice a week watching that.
From him and
there will be pictures.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the pictures, but the understanding is that they did take pictures.
Yeah, so you're asking for that documentation to verify proper installation of the pipe at 6 foot depth on that portion which we were asked to provide a change order in the design only to move that to the original laying of the original pipe.
Right.
Okay.
The original laying of the pipe went through the same ledging area where the design called for.
Mm-hmm.
So if I understand the digital recording, the engineer is telling you you're going to save $50,000 by not following his original design and not paying for any blasting. Is there any documentation that says the old pipe was shallow, which is what you trying to avoid when you applied for $295,000 in a grant?
Well, it didn't specify that it was shallow on that part of Aspen, though, did it? It was just kind of shallow water lines within the district?
You didn't specify anything
okay.
in the grant as to what where this pipe was going, and we'll have to try to send deeper.
Okay.
You just said that this is the goal of this grant.
And that some of the pipes in the district are shallow, and some of that grant money...
Let me put it, did you notify the DES that you did an engineering change order to this main that they gave you?
Yeah, so all change orders, including a design change, but no financial change, have to be approved by DES.
But I did a 91A request for the engineering change order for that. Mm-hmm. You said it wasn't.
I don't think Chris didn't consider that a change order.
And he's getting $39,000 on top of the design to manage this project for the village. He doesn't consider that an engineering change order.
But I think this change order of moving that pipe actually
right.
was provided to DES because it's according to my understanding, it's required.
Mm-hmm.
And so I found...
So do you have a copy of that document that went to DES from the engineer?
I know I have a copy of the document. Do
but
I have a copy
are you
of
looking
what was
for
sent to DES? Probably
I
not.
Asked
but
for
I
asked for a copy of the documentation on this change.
Okay.
I was told there was no change order. It was a field...
Yeah, field
change. Design
change.
But
yeah.
There was no money.
Okay.
There's no money involved. That's true.
Yeah.
But it's a design change, a field design change order.
Well, I sent it to the commissioners and to Chris
yeah.
mm-hmm.
for a design change order for my
yeah.
email, and I was told there was no change order. It was a field design change.
Well, let's follow up
okay.
with Chris. John
Chris.
And see what he sent to
okay.
to.
Yes.
To what? Yes, to your Franca.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get if there's a documentation, we should get a copy of it and get it to save a question.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So the hearsay on the street quite a while ago, I'm talking to Jay on the road, was this project is over budget. And I get the impression that you don't believe this project is over budget.
I don't believe this project is over budget.
So I don't want to go over the amount of time.
Okay, but Mark, we still have. We've
a lot of work yet to be done.
Oh, I know, but...
And if I had time, I was going to ask, why did the project stop?
Why did it stop?
I live in that area. Nothing has happened.
Right. What happened?
Work this week.
What had happened was the next thing for them to do was to pressure test the new main. And whatever component they needed to make that happen is on backwater. And so they were waiting. They were going to come up with some convoluted way of trying to do it. It didn't make sense. So they were waiting. And then Kelly said, look, I want to do some paving up there before winter. So they're putting the pressure on them. And then I guess they got E.J. Prescott come in.
E.J. Prescott's going to conduct the pressure test.
And pressure test.
That pipe could have been filled with water without a piece
of the pump. It can be filled with water, but they need something in addition to that to actually do the pressure test. According to the engineer and according to Dawson's and according to Ian.
So the total length of new pipe takes approximately 3,000 gallons of water. So that's the size that we have on our fire truck tank. And I offered that to sort of expedite things. And
we filled the big tank by a hose right in our pump
yeah.
house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The old pump house.
Oh, I know.
Mm-hmm. And they couldn't fill this pipe?
Yeah. I had similar questions.
And
so, I have a lot more questions we can come back on. I'd like to keep it to 10 minutes because these meetings scramble on. So
okay.
Thanks for your time.
Did you have okay.
I have a lot of questions.
Okay.
You want to come back? But let me make sure I get the questions that you
were...
We'll
say if you want to get some stuff out here.
Yeah, but I want to make sure we answer your questions that you had just spoken about. So I think, are you satisfied with the fact that we haven't spent the $869,000? Or
yeah.
that question.
Give me that sheet. That's great.
Okay.
I'm glad to hear you tracking.
Okay.
And then you're gonna show him how we're tracking.
I can show you. I took the QuickBooks report. I formatted it so it was alphabetical, subtotaled it so it's easier to grasp. Not that you can't grasp it, but it's easier to. I put all the Dawson's bills together, all the SW Cole and all the Jones and Beach bills together, and then one sheet is the contracts and how much we've been billed on the contracts. Any contingency work that we know we'll have to pay for out of that $150,000. And then this is the last sheet is all the bills that have been submitted against the grant, and that was one of your questions. And I don't think that DES doesn't seem to say, okay, this portion of the project is going to be paid for by the grant. We just sent them the bills. They said, yep, these are water project-related bills, regardless of whether it's the tank, the replacement of the water line in the road, or it could be the Upper Lakeview repairs. As long as it's a water-related upgrade, the grant can be spent on any of those things. The 869-4, because it was through the municipal bond bank, they were very, very specific, saying you cannot spend any of that money on anything other than the Reinhardt tank project, which is the tank, the pump house, and that water line main. But the grant money can be spent on anything in the district that's water-related, as long as Rick approves it.
Hi, this is Dinah. I have a question.
Sure.
As far as the hard facts of the matter are, the project account, which we put in the original bond bank money of $849,000, which is loan for the tank, right?
Mm-hmm.
That money is all gone out of that account. We need that $106,000 we're getting this week to finish CN tanks from last week's check. So there's going to be $33,000 in that account after the DN tank check clears.
Right. So technically, as of this 5 minutes, because you have to spend the money before you can apply for the grant. You don't get the grant money side by side. You spend the $1.249 million, and it's prorated. So as we spend it, we can ask for our disbursement against the grant. So yes, we have spent over the $869, but the check is in the mail. So we're going to have that $108,000 by tomorrow.
So you're saying
but the $100,000, excuse me, the $108,000 is going to be taken up mostly by that check that's outstanding. So that'll leave us $3,000 in that account.
So we will not have overspent the $869 for at that point.
It's all gone. How can you say you haven't overspent it?
No, once the $108,000 goes in today or tomorrow, there'll be a positive balance in that account.
Of $33,000, which is not going to get us to the end of this project.
We'll be applying.
We've already sent in another disbursement of $72,000. So that'll be coming in October. And part of the requirement of DES to get the entire $295,000 is to spend the $85,000 in capital reserves. And we haven't touched that yet.
So you think this will all work out okay?
I mean, the other
thing is, Greg Eam told us we shouldn't be commingling the grant money with the loan money, which we're doing.
So the grant money is we deposited the $66,000 in the
project. All the grant money has gone into the project account where the loan money went to.
So you periodically send an Excel spreadsheet to the other commissioners and to the office?
No, I printed it at home and brought it in, and we looked at it. So I can send you a copy of this. I can put
That'd
it on.
Great, yeah.
Okay, all right.
I tried.
I'll get a copy of it when I come down to sign checks and so forth.
Okay, well, I made four sets, so I can have one for each of you. Dinah can have one, and they can be one for the office.
We'll take that one, and the future ones, maybe you can send a copy of the Excel spreadsheet.
I can do that.
That'd be great.
Or PDF. Yeah, probably. I would do send it the PDF. Okay. All right. Okay.
So just to make sure I got your last question, you wanted documentation from Ian as to the proper installation of the change order pipe to one side of the road versus the other.
Yeah, if you guys haven't seen the documentation, you don't have it, then it'd be good for you to have it on a file.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And I would like to see it too. Mm-hmm. And that has to reflect. I don't have it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then verification of the payment, the bond bank payment, and then the DES approval letter.
And do you want to follow up on this, come back at a later date, Mark, or David? With more questions.
I'm going to try to keep this 10 minutes.
Just for transparency, we thought Tim would be here to videotape. He didn't show, but we do have the recording going on audio.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. You told him October 1st, so we're not sure what happened.
Told he'd be here, but... Yes, David.
I have a question about the audit.
Mm-hmm.
The fund balance at the beginning of 2019 was $203,000.
The unassigned fund balance? Yeah. Okay.
And at the annual meeting, you took $42,000 out of that. Restore it to a third fund.
Yeah.
Budget was overspent. Yet the unassigned fund balance went up to $239,000. You know why?
Yeah, without looking into the details of that, I think the reason why may be because of the $59,142 that was collected for the first year.
$59,000 is in the
Right, it's committed to that project, correct.
Right, it's not
I'm sorry, you're right, the unassigned fund balance.
We'll have to look at it.
Yeah,
there were a lot of money that was encumbered.
The encumbered money wouldn't...
But it was encumbered in 2018. I don't think it ever got spent. I wonder if it might... So there's money that's been encumbered in the past that hasn't been spent. Then after 1 year, I would think it would move to the unassigned fund balance. I don't know if that's what it is. I'm just saying. I started looking at that yesterday as well.
If you're looking into auditors, which I hear you're doing, I tell you that two things that you should consider. One is that the auditor should have a public meeting with the legislative body when the audit is completed. Other towns. The auditor has no obligation to answer any questions. I think this village, based on its current history of finance problems, finance questions, that whoever is the auditor should be in the contract that they meet publicly and answer questions to the public about the audit.
I've seen that, and I saw that in the RFP. That's the question I have, if we want to include that or not.
I highly recommend
it's a cost,
you do
we'll
that.
Have to add. It'll
the
be
second
a
thing is that you can request of any audit the auditor's notes.
Mm-hmm.
The auditor's notes, not many people know this, the auditor's notes will answer a lot of questions during the vagueness of the translation of our budget. You look at an audit, if you've looked at it, you've looked at it and said, how does this match up against the operating budget, the way we know it?
Mm-hmm.
That they translate it. They use language that's not familiar to
layman.
Towns do budgets. Notes.
We've reached out to her on a couple of occasions. This woman, Catherine DeVoe, who I guess you know, Devo, is working with Donna on clarifying some of these things and cleaning up some of the QuickBooks issues. And we've reached out to Tamer for her worksheets and to see how she came up with those numbers. So when asked, she has provided them. But getting them in a bound book as far as part
you
of the public
record.
You want
all of her notes. You want any auditor, you want all of the notes of the audit.
That means something we can...
They wouldn't be surprised if you asked for them. They don't volunteer them. Histories. If she makes a statement in the audit saying it's common practice to say that if you have access to other money in the total budget, it's not overspent. The comment she has in this last audit is contrary to RSA 32. RSA 32 says you're not looking at the whole budget, you're looking at every legislative body voted. Put an intent in a dollar amount at the budget. So a warrant article that says $59,000 is the first payment to
project like being a budget the legislative body assigned. It'd be interesting to see exactly how you pass the question to the DRA for the answer. Does it violate RSA 32 to go over the first payment amount?
Right.
In all cases, they mandate you put the first payment in there.
Yes.
Why?
When we're not legally bound to that.
So the taxpayer is actually voting what the tax rate is.
Right.
Yeah.
Not if you owe, if you say the first payment now needs another $22,000. Why do we vote?
Mm-hmm.
But you could ask the question that way, even though she doesn't answer you within a week.
Yep.
Well, I'm not asking the question. Mm-hmm. That'd be good.
Yeah. All right. Good questions.
Anybody have anything for Mark or David?
Gloria?
I just want to say I'm very happy that you're opening up the on every Thursday.
Yep, going forward, yep.
I'm going to be pretty cautious about what's going on with COVID. I think everybody has a very different opinion and about mass social distancing. Necessary or important, or and I haven't been doing what I've been doing for 6 months, so I get sick now. I spend a lot of time with my very elderly father. So if I find like I'm not comfortable here, I won't be coming to the meeting, so I'll call in.
So you'll be coming in by Zoom? Or?
Yeah, I'll come in by the phone.
Yeah.
I think that. I'm pretty, you know, that's how I feel about it, and I think everybody's entitled to feel however they want to feel, so. Yeah,
But the town of Madison and Madison TV reached out to see if we would open up to do the, we can't fit Tim in the recording and Kelly and two and five people in the office, we just can't do it.
But there's also there's no New Hampshire mandate that people have to wear masks, so if you look at the Madison Selection meetings, people are not wearing masks. We can't make people do it. So,
well, yes, you can. You can.
You can.
Home Depot can do it.
Yeah, you can.
And Shaw's can do it. Mm-hmm. I mean,
Donna has requested that
anyone
visiting her office.
Yeah.
Okay.
In your invitation to the public, could you?
I did. I put it in the newsletter that went out at 6
right.
this morning and on the website.
Yeah.
Mask required.
I got to stay on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. I got to stay on. And that's it. So,
okay.
That's it.
Yeah. So, we adjourn?
This is Lynn. I'm sorry. I don't know the mayor, David. This is Lynn.
Lynn Baker.
This is David, and that's Mark.
We're not troublemakers.
Okay. Mark, you want to take that with you? Take a peek? Yeah. If you have any questions on how I did that or why I did it, please let me know. Or any suggestions on how to do it better?
I don't need that.
Okay. Thank you.
There was one more thing on the agenda then.
Well, 32, Lakeview.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Well, Andrew Welch, I'm sorry.
Yeah, what was that?
It's just somebody that's seen if there's going to be water pressure. I forwarded it.
I think
that.
Ian said yes.
Oh, this is 32.
Yeah.
We already talked about that a long time.
Is this the guy that wants to build the dome house out on the platform?
This is across from where we put the new culvert at 33, Taylor's.
Okay.
And the answer is there's water there.
But he wanted a guarantee that he'll have...
Yeah. Didn't somebody send you an email that they listed like 9 lots?
Yeah.
Is that which one?
Yeah, I told them that they.
We don't. Yeah, we don't speculate on lots.
Yeah.
Yes, this one has, this one doesn't. We can't, unless you give us $8,000 for each one.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go use that money to test.
He's just making sure that he'll get the pressure needed.
Did we send that to Chris?
It would be going to Chris because not now, not until he actually gives us an application. Or the former landowner.
Does he own it now? Did he buy that from? Was that the Nelson lot or not?
No.
They're looking to buy it and was told by the realtor that there would not be enough pressure to serve that lot. He also said that the main was being replaced, which would eventually be able to provide the pressure needed. I'm looking for some confirmation in regards to that. If I am asking the wrong person, please let me know. So
I will answer him back. We can't guarantee anything until there's
right.
a water application submitted. We can't.
Then we'll do. Then once we approve that application, we're approving that there will be sufficient pressure at the home.
Okay. Yeah.
There was a good letter we sent to somebody recently about this.
Yeah.
Remember the one? This is the one I drafted that said we can't guarantee anything.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how it works.
Yep.
You might pick up that letter and
okay.
the language
yeah.
from that.
Yeah,
I
probably ought to have templates because we don't.
It was on Upper Lakeview.
Yeah, I was just going to say
but
that.
But was this? Does he own? Can he?
No.
Can you do a water? Can you submit a water hookup application if you don't own the lot?
No.
No.
You have to own the lot.
Yeah. Now on a driveway permit you do, but on the water hookup.
We'd be giving him approval, but not the owner of the lot. Okay.
I thought you had to get a driveway permit first before you could do anything.
No.
You can do a water hookup application first.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's my misunderstanding.
I mean, I think the thing, I guess given what's going on right now as well, people might be challenged.
Yeah.
I mean, people may say, I don't want to buy the lot if I can't get water.
Yeah.
But the problem, you can always dig a well.
Right. Well, about a year out on getting a well company to come to your house,
at
too.
This point. Yeah, that's for what's going on right now. It could get better.
I think one of the things that the public hearing might help us resolve is that if we do take the $8,000, we spend, like we did on Biasca, $1,500, $1,600, figuring out where the water main is, then they decide not to hook up. We give them their whole $8,000 back.
Right.
So one of the things that we were considering was, look, less the $8,000, less any cost incurred to make the determination as
right.
to, where that water main is.
Yeah.
And that, we shouldn't have to pay for that out of our pocket.
Yeah, because if you go apply for a mortgage, there's a mortgage fee. So
mm-hmm.
you start a mortgage application fee. So
yeah.
$50, $100, $200, whatever
maybe
it is.
Maybe you put a limit on it, though.
Yeah, exactly. So you have
up
to put
to
a limit on it.
Up to
mm-hmm. Because you can be denied a mortgage, but they keep the
$200.
Yeah. Yeah. I have one other question.
Yeah, Gloria.
I don't know where I was when the Memorial plaque.
It was the 1 second that you went out, you stepped outside the room. So basically, we just, what had happened was Andrew Hartefeld noticed the plaque was gone off the little library. And he started looking around, and somebody removed it and threw it in the woods.
Oh.
And they didn't pry it off. Somebody took the four screws off because it was neatly done.
Yeah.
And they did contact the police. They suggested keeping the plaque to see if they could dust for fingerprints. But instead, they just reapply it to the little library. So that was, nothing that we had to decide on, but it was a correspondence that came in from Andrew and his wife about that incident happening.
I know that they were going to have another meeting regarding that months ago, and I don't know.
We really need to do it in a public hearing format, and so I know Donna's putting together a list of all the things that we've mentioned
right.
over the past year and a half that we should address in a public hearing regarding ordinances and ordinance changes.
Thank you for
clarifying
that.
So, and if that person, Vandal, does that again, then I would suggest not putting it back up.
I didn't even realize it was gone.
And that just happened 2 days ago, so your inquiry is very timely.
I think it was
over the weekend.
Yep,
Sunday night.
Yeah, it was just the past couple of days.
Yeah.
But somebody unscrewed it. They didn't pry it off, so it was an odd thing for somebody to have done.
Yeah.
At first, they thought, well, maybe if Adam's thinking of leaving the district, maybe he wanted to take it as a memento. But they said no.
That's what I thought. He had actually taken it himself
because it was neatly done.
Yeah.
And as some people chuckled because I don't think Adam even owns a screwdriver. It probably wasn't him. But the fact they tossed it in the woods was kind of disrespectful. So.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for clarifying.
Okay.
But to your point, Gloria. So I also had here on my notes of things to talk about and schedule for the future. Is as far as the ordinance changes, possible hearings, I have the highway and parking ordinance
mm-hmm.
and the water ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this thing about memorials would be a policy which we don't have.
Right.
So I don't want to have one night or one day where there's six ordinances that need to be discussed because that's a
long day.
A long day.
Yeah, so those two won't take long.
Yeah,
exactly. The water ordinance, it would be one.
But it has to be a public. So
yeah. You have to notice it 30 days in advance.
Right.
First, would we do that via phone then, or Zoom?
Yeah, you can. Obviously, like we're doing now, we still have the same correspondence.
But it has to be posted in the newspaper.
Yeah.
That's all.
Well, you can do it as like. I mean,
I think like the memorial issue is one we should just have an open discussion on what people think of it, maybe. Because I don't think, unless there's something we want to propose as a policy or an ordinance.
Right. We had several open meetings.
We have to have a policy.
Yeah, yeah. Because Gloria sent a letter. We've had a lot of
input. No, I know. There's been a lot of input. I was involved in attending many of those meetings.
Yes.
I guess the question is we've heard from a few people. We haven't heard from the public at large on it. That's what I'm saying. So my question is, do you want to do it via proposing a policy? Or do you want to just say, considering a policy, I don't think we should have...
Well, the policy wouldn't require...
If you're not going to have a memorial.
But a policy wouldn't require a public hearing.
No, but I'd like, if we're going to put a policy together, I'd like public input.
Okay.
I mean, I can't just come down to the public town hall and put up something on the wall. You have to have a...
You can try it.
Okay.
Thank you, Gloria. So I was just looking at the calendar, and if we do schedule, at least for these two, highway parking ordinance and the water ordinance, November 5th is our next.
Is that the no plow also? Like there's other different ordinances that you.
Yeah, because you have more than just those two, don't you? Okay.
Yeah.
So I so if she.
I'll put the list together.
The snowplow policy? Are you talking about?
There was something that was a snowplow they wanted to put in another.
Oh, you know what it was? I think we kept saying that if people plowed snow into the road, it was a violation of our ordinance, and it's not.
Yeah.
We want to add that in.
Ordinance.
Of our snow plowing ordinance. About people parking on the road, it impedes with snow plowing. And we always told people, you can't back drag snow out of your driveway onto our road.
But we don't have a snow plowing ordinance.
Yeah, we have a snow plow policy.
Policy, right.
Right.
But that doesn't require
it. Is it in the road ordinance?
Somebody told me that it had to be, it's a public thing that we had to discuss.
Well, okay. We'll look.
It's one of those. I think only I could just think.
Yeah.
Like I have a list of different.
Well, I don't have to be discussed, but we have to add it to the.
If it's a policy change, I mean, if it's an ordinance change.
Why are we changing it though?
Because we want to add that. I think that it didn't.
There was a lot of snow plowers this year.
Push the snow out.
We already have a policy about it. Why would we?
We thought it was in there. It wasn't in there.
It's not in there. Okay.
Yeah. And I went through all the state docs, and each town is different, and there was no. You know, overriding state ordinance that prevented people from doing that. It was kind of town by town, roadway by roadway.
Yeah.
But for those two ordinances, the highway and parking and the water ordinance, do you know of any other ordinances that we need?
Well,
I'll have to look. I have a folder.
But do we have a list of what the changes are that we want to make? Can we somebody...
I think so.
You just tell me to put this. That's going to be
make a note. Make a note.
Yeah.
Do you have those notes?
Yes, she does.
Yeah. So can you distribute that to us so we can discuss it at the next meeting?
Yeah. So do we want to schedule the first week in November, November 5th meeting?
I will be gone that week for sure.
And that's election week. I think it's going
to
be chaotic.
Yeah.
It's election week.
Oh, yeah. That's election November 4th, so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It has to be posted publicly 30 days prior to the meeting.
Yeah.
Right.
And I'm going to be, most of this winter, I will probably be away.
Okay.
I'll call in. I'll be able to call in.
Yeah.
So you want to do November 12th? I think the riot
will
be over by then.
That's when Veterans Day.
Do we have to have what the proposals are 30 days in advance, or we just have to schedule the meeting 30 days?
Well, in the ad, it has to at least summarize what the ordinances are that we are. It'll say water ordinance and parking ordinance and whatever.
And then your changes to the order can be totally different than what you.
Right.
Yeah, but you don't even have to, because I know I went to the public right here. No, I'm sorry, the school gym, the one on. Public hearing on the changing of the dump fees and all that.
Mm-hmm.
There was no proposals given ahead of time. It was just
open conversation.
Yeah. Well,
can we have it at night, like Thursday night? I mean, it can be a call-in meeting, but people are work during the day. Even people
at
work or they're calling from home or they're working from home.
Yeah.
We should have it in the evening.
Public
hearing.
I can't remember how many people we had when we did the one last. We did one.
January. We did those.
That was the budget here.
Oh, that was a lot.
Right, that was a lot of people showed up for that.
I think the other thing would be worthwhile is if we're going to have it. And, you know, I don't know that if we're doing anything controversial. I don't remember what we're talking about.
No, it's just
stuff. Maybe.
Yeah.
But would be to, like, if we had a 7 o'clock, have a town meeting and just say, maybe the end of the year, and basically, is there anything anybody wants to discuss?
Right, before going into the annual meeting.
People have been locked up at home for months, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's been a lot of extra people in the district all year. Like, it'd just be interesting to say, open public comment, 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything, because as we go into next year and we're going to have to budget for stuff,
mm-hmm.
people are, I think, people are anxious about the tax rate because
mm-hmm.
tornado-wise, we're going to bear the brunt of the tax
increase
this year. Most people are going to see a tax increase rate because of their assessment,
mm-hmm.
more than this.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot of issues just facing people, and I just think we should have a public comment section.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to tell us?
Yep. And we kind of try to do that, you know. First,
you've been doing it, I think,
we
for a while.
We get two meetings, and, you know, this is where we think the district should go. Here's, like, a 10-year plan, and so we did it kind of more in that vein, and people didn't care, so it was really.
But at this point,
that would
like,
probably have to be a call-in, though, because of the number of people.
Well, I think it should be a call-in meeting anyway. We're not going to have an in-person meeting in November.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm telling you, I'm not going to go to it.
Thing.
I mean, no way.
Yeah. Because like today, this was not 6 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, I tried, but
no. But I guess my question was, for a while, you guys were having a lot, but there were a lot of meetings on Saturday mornings and Thursday nights,
mm-hmm.
and people were coming, and we haven't had that in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's hard for people to do Thursday mornings. So
okay.
I just think if we had a meeting, we say it's a 7 o'clock, it's going to end at 9. Like we set it in time.
Mm-hmm.
We
right.
Say,
right.
We do the ordinances. If we run out of time, we run out of time.
Yeah.
But then you can also say if there's time, that takes an hour, then. And we could talk about, if we know, the things we're sort of thinking about for next year.
Close warrant articles. And
here's kind of where we're at right now. We think there's nothing major.
Yes.
But, or there is there something major we want to go after.
Yeah. Now, have you, I know last year you kind of had your list of proposed warrant articles, and Adam had a list, and we just kind of went through the list, and
right.
yes, no, yes, no, yes, no, and so that may be...
Yeah, because this year, I mean, again, you got to think of that one that we did drop off because of the budget was tree removal.
Yeah.
At some point, we got to do it, or else the plows are just going to get banged up even more.
Yeah.
That's one I was going to bring up with Kelly, crack sealing, but I know he's just flat out. He can't do crack sealing this year, which is unfortunate, because we have the material, we have the machine.
Yeah.
We just have to.
Yeah.
But,
you know, there's going to be a couple of warrant articles on capital reserve funds, too.
I always drive. He's actually going to forego what was approved last year, the $5,000, so we can just bank that somewhere else. It goes in unassigned fund
balance.
Right. And,
So we do it.
Do we have to go with you?
Non-public, yes, we do.
Oh, okay. All right.
This was like as we were talking about it.
I don't want to adjourn the meeting. What we do is we then go to non-public.
Right.
We come back out in the public
okay.
and then adjourn the meeting.
Okay.
Right.
So you want to make
a... I'll make a motion if we go in a non-public session under RSA 91A. And this is for Jeff, right?
Employee.
Mm-hmm. 91A colon 3, section A, employee review. Do I have a second to that?
Okay. Paula can second that.
Roll call, I say aye.
Yes.
Aye.
Okay. So at this point, we can turn the phone off.
Shut the recording down.
Shut the recording down.